This evening, let's begin by reading Genesis chapter 17 and 1 through 27. Genesis 17, 1 through 27. Genesis chapter 17 and beginning at verse 1. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. And I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. Then Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you and their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be God to you and your descendants after you. Also I give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said to Abraham, As for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you, throughout your generations. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male child among you shall be circumcised, and you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised. Every male child in your generations, he who is born in your house and bought with money from any foreigner who is not your descendant. He who is born in your house and he who is bought with your money must be circumcised. And my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised male child who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that person shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. Then God said to Abraham, As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her and also give you a son by her. Then I will bless her and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of peoples shall be from her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, Shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? And Abraham said to God, Oh, that Ishmael might live before you. And then God said, No, Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his descendants after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him, and will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. He shall beget 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this set time next year. Then he finished talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. So Abraham took Ishmael his son, and all who were born in his house, and all who were bought with his money, every male among the men of Abraham's house, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskins that very same day, as God had said to him. Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And Ishmael his son was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. That very same day, Abraham was circumcised and his son Ishmael, and all the men of his house, born in the house or bought with money from a foreigner, were circumcised with him. A number of important details that we find here, not only for these immediate events that we read here in history, but for God's dealings with the nation of Israel. And then there are, as always, a number of lessons of faith that we can also learn from this passage. We're introduced in this chapter to four new names. We have an old practice custom that is also given a new significance, and that is circumcision. Circumcision was not new with the Jews, but it was given this very special significance at this time for God's people, for Abraham and his descendants. The first name that we see in this passage that was a new revelation, and that is the Almighty. the Almighty God, El Shaddai. We've already considered this in our Sunday morning series. But this is the first time in the scriptures that God is referred to as the Almighty God. And this is essential at this time because, once again, Abraham was questioning out loud. Well, he was questioning in his heart, but of course God sees and hears that. So for God, it was out loud. But how can a 90-year-old woman bear a son? Nothing is impossible with the Almighty God. Power comes from Him. He's the source of all power. He created everything from nothing. And this miracle, though clearly a miracle for man, but for God, He's the Almighty God. Nothing impossible with Him. So He reveals Himself to Abraham as El Shaddai, the Almighty God. And He says, "Walk before me. Live in such a way to manifest your understanding that I am the Almighty God. Live in a way that you know that I can do everything that I've promised." And we see Abraham's faith growing. With every chapter, we see his faith growing deeper and deeper and deeper. He does laugh. There's still that, how could this possibly happen? Once again, I appreciate the honesty of the Holy Spirit to make us understand that Abraham is just like us. He has questions, but he also is an example of how that we can overcome all of our questions and all of our doubts and just trust that God is almighty, that what he said he would do, he is able to do, he can do, and he will do. And so we need to walk before him as if we know who he is. And the same day that he was told to circumcise, and once again, if you can imagine what exactly was being demanded of Abraham, and not only Abraham, but every male in his household, what was being required of them was no small thing. It was a sacrifice. It was painful. It was all the things that, if we can imagine that what was required, and yet that same day, with this big ask that God doesn't ask, but demands of him, Abraham does it the same day. His faith is growing. He was walking and living in such a way that he believed that God was El Shaddai, the Almighty God. God said, "Be blameless." The word blameless there, it means to be complete. It means to be trustworthy. It does not mean to be sinless. Abraham was not sinless. You and I are not sinless. We still have that old nature, and when we do not judge it, we do commit sin. Well, that's a big, nasty word, but what does the Bible say is sin? Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. You ever have a moment of unbelief when you didn't do what God asked you to do in His Word because you really didn't believe that was the right thing at the moment? Yeah, that's called sin. Be blameless means not to be sinless, but to be trustworthy. It means to be characterized by doing the right thing. And when you fall short of that, that there is a repentance and a returning to do the right thing. So it doesn't mean that you never do the wrong thing, but it does mean that you're characterized by always desiring to do what's right in the sight of the Almighty God. And this is the command that's given. I am El Shaddai, walk before me and be blameless. This is how we live a godly life. Too many Christians only live like a Christian when somebody is watching them, when another Christian is watching them, when the pastor's around or when they're at church. And the reason that many Christians live that kind of double life, because then when they're with unbelievers or with other carnal Christians, they'll live and talk and act like the world. And the reason that God's people do that is because they really don't understand I'm walking in the presence of the Almighty God. And that's whether anybody else is around or not. He's still watching. He's still able to do everything he said he would do, and that includes enabling me to do his will, to do what's right in his sight. There is that appropriate fear of the Lord, which is not terror that he's going to knock you down if you don't do what's right, but it's that reverential awe of who he is. You ever been in the presence of someone, whether it be intelligent, someone who's super intelligent, or maybe it's a sports figure, someone you really admire, or a musician or whatever? Have you ever been in the presence of someone and you just kind of, wow, I wish I could do that. Wow, that's a really talented person. That's a really intelligent person. How much more should we stand in the presence of God and just say, who is like my Father? He's the Almighty God. That's what the fear of the Lord is. It's a desire to always please Him and never displease Him, because we love Him, because we honor Him, because we respect who He is. That's what the fear of the Lord is. And this is what El Shaddai is requiring of Abraham. I am El Shaddai, walk before me and be blameless. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 14 and 15, the Apostle Paul put it this way in the New Testament. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. This is the only way that you will be the kind of Christian you need to be. It's not by memorizing things. It's not by somebody writing down a list of do's and don'ts for you. This is what will motivate you to be the kind of Christian God wants you to be. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 14 and 15. For the love of Christ compels us, constrains us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died, and he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Until you have that burning love for Jesus Christ, a love that comes from a revelation of what Jesus did for you on the cross at Calvary, as we sang, who we were, what our destiny is. And as we all get older, and there's some older ones here, there's a few younger ones here, the older we get, and I'll make it personal, the older I get, the more I realize how short this life really is. How many of even my own generation have already passed on the other side, not to mention the generation that went on before me. How quickly life passes, it's a vapor. The more I realize the only purpose of life is getting to know my Creator and my Savior in preparation for eternity. This life is a preparation for eternity. And the more I realize that, the easier it is for me to dedicate myself to doing always what's right in His sight. I'm going to meet Him face to face soon. I want to be able to hear those words from Him, "Well done, thou faithful servant." This is why God felt it necessary to reveal His name as the Almighty to Abraham, so he would know, "Abraham, I know I'm asking a lot of you, but know I'm the Almighty, and I will enable you to do everything for you to enjoy the fullness of my blessing." God went on to reaffirm the promises that He'd made, that He would make of Abraham's descendants a great nation, that He would multiply him, and that they would inherit the land of Canaan. Once again, necessary to know, El Shaddai said that. Because looking around, Abraham knew that there were a lot of Canaanites that would not agree to giving up their land. But who made the promise? El Shaddai. So Abraham had to believe that, and then to know that Sarah, the 90-year-old woman, was going to bear this miracle child. Can that really happen? El Shaddai said it. Yes. Abram and Sarai had waited 24 years. God gave that promise 24 years earlier. And it had been 13 years since we read in the account since the last recorded communication with God. In other words, we don't read that from 13 years before and in between this time where He introduces Himself as El Shaddai, we don't know that God said anything more to Abram. But Abraham had to trust that this was the Almighty God. This was an encouraging, reaffirming of the promises God had already made. Philippians 4, verses 19 and 20. So the question we need to ask ourselves in the light of Abraham's faith here and of God's revelation of who He is, do we live our life as if we believe that our Father is El Shaddai? Do we walk before Him? Are we blameless, trustworthy, always wanting to do what's right, and when we fall short of that, returning to do what is right? Sometimes we read these promises in the Word of God, all things work together for our good. Really? Who made that promise? El Shaddai. The Almighty God made that promise to you. Your Heavenly Father made that promise to you. We have this promise in Philippians 4, 19 and 20. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. That's a promise. Abraham had some promises. Children of Israel have some promises made to them. But this is promises to us in this church age. We have to understand the context of what our supply is and what he is supplying. The promise we have of the Word of God that anything and everything I need to do the will of God and have God's best in this life and eternity, God says, I will supply. When I look to him in faith, when I walk before him, blameless, the promise is that he'll supply what I need when I need it. Can we believe that? Romans 8, quoted 28, but we know the end of the chapter of Romans 8 as well, that nothing is able to separate us from the love of God. And the list is long and complete. And then it goes on to say, anything past, present, or future, nothing, not life, not death, can separate me from God's promises made by his love for me. We are more than conquerors. And then God goes on to change Abram's name to Abraham. The name Abram means exalted father. And most of the Bible commentaries think that this was actually honoring Abram's father, Terah. He is the exalted father. And that name was then given to Abram. But Abraham means father of a multitude. At 99 years old, Abraham was to go and tell his family and his servants, you need to now start calling me the father of multitudes. Can you imagine some of the chuckles that his servants probably had? 100 years old, and you've got one son that's not by your primary wife, and now you're going want us to call you the father of multitudes. We see Abraham's faith here. He lets everybody know, I'm Abraham, because God said so. The Almighty said so. The same step of faith was required concerning the changing of Sarai's name to Sarah. This change isn't quite as easy to nail down, since there's some confusion about what Sarai means. Some believe Sarai means my princess, referring to Sarai being Abraham's princess, his dear wife. But Sarah means princess. In other words, a princess. And in the context of the promise of many kings and royals that would come from her. So not just Abraham's loyal wife, but a monarch, a princess. Some believe that her name actually means contentious, which is a real possibility because Sarai could be a little contentious. But God changed her name to be a princess, exalted her to a position of respect and authority, power. God's grace does that for us, doesn't it? It takes us from the pit of sin, exalts us to be the children of God, and even gives us the opportunity to be the bride of Christ. That's the grace of God. But again, we have to exercise the faith to walk before the one who made that promise, like we believe it. And then there is the name, a new name, Isaac. This fourth name that we're given in this chapter is that of the boy that was promised to be born to Sarah, the miracle child. His name means laughter. It really has kind of a twofold meaning here. First, it reminded Abraham and Sarah, because we'll read that Sarah also laughs at this promise. But both Abraham and Sarah laughed in a degree of unbelief. And so every time that they would stand at the door of the tent and call Isaac home for supper, Isaac, laughter, we laughed at the promise. And here he comes running. We laughed in unbelief, and yet here he is. So every time they called his name, they were reminded it's not worth doubting El Shaddai. When he says something, he means it. And then there's also the positive side to that laughter of joy, the joy that the promise being fulfilled brought. And so every time they would call Isaac's name, it reminded them the joy that comes from believing God and trusting him. So we need to remember these things as well. And let's see. I think I must stop there now because I want to spend a little time on the meaning of circumcision. There's a lot of details here. The Holy Spirit clearly meant it for us to understand some things. And so I want to spend a little time looking at the spiritual significance of what God required of Abraham. So we'll stop there tonight.